Read the next two verses, and then we'll go on to the word-by-word synonyms. Stab tholvakaranam giri kandarad bhuta avyatasya nasam hanubeda bishanam divisprashat kayam atirga pivara grivoravaksha stalam alpamadyamam. Chandram Shugorais Churitam Tanur Hair Vishwang Bhujani Kashatam Nakayudam Durashadam Sarvani Jetarayuta Parveka Vidravita Toicha Tanavam. Okay, you can do the word by word synonyms. Mimam Samanasya of Aranyakashipu, who is contemplating the wonderful form of the Lord. Samuttitaha appeared. Agrataha in front. Nrsinga Rupa, the form of Nrsinga Deva, half lion and half man. Tat, that. Alam, extraordinarily. Bayanakam, very fearful. Pratapta, like molten. Chamikara, gold. Chandalochanam, having fierce eyes. Spurat, flashing. Satakeshura, by his mane. Jrimvita, Ananam, whose face is expanded. Kerala, deadly. Dumstram, with a set of teeth. Karavala Chanchala, waving like a sharp sword. Shura-anta, and as sharp as a razor. Jivam, whose tongue. Bru-kuti-muka, due to his frowning face. Ubanam, dreadful. Stabda, motionless. Urdva, extending upward. Karnam, whose ears. Giri Kandara, like the caves of a mountain. Adbhuta, very wonderful. Vyatasya, with a widely opened mouth. Nasam, and nostrils. Anubeda Vishanam, causing fear due to the separation of the jaws. Divispritshat, touching the sky. Kayam, whose body. Adirga, short. Pivara, fat. Griva, neck. Uru, broad. Vakshastalam, chest. Alpa, small. Majamam, middle portion of the body. Achandra amshu, like the rays of the moon. Gorahai, whitish. Churitam, covered. Tanuruhai, with hairs. Vishvak, in all directions. Bhuja, of arms. Anikashatam, with 100 rows. Naka, heavy nails. Ayudam, as fatal weapons. Durasadam, very difficult to conquer. Sarva, all. Nija, personal. Ittura, another. Ayuda, of weapons. Apraveka, by use of the best. Vidravita, cause to run. Daicha, by whom the demons. Dhanavam, and the rogues, atheists. Translation, Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Nrisimhadeva standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold, his shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conchal disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. You can repeat. Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord. Trying to decide who the form of Nrisimhadeva standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold. His shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully. And his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick. His chest broad. His waist thin. And the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues and atheists, with his conch shell disc, club lotus, and other natural weapons. Okay. So there's no purport to this text, so we're going to read the next text, and that text was more or less descriptive of the transcendental form of Nrisimhadeva. So we'll read the next text. It has a very short purport, and then the text after that has a lengthy purport. So text 23. Prayena meyam harinorumayana vadasmito yena samudhyatena kim evam bruvam stvavya patad gadayudo Nadanishringam pratidoicha kunjadaha. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me? Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. In the jungle, there are sometimes fights between lions and elephants. Here, the Lord appeared like a lion, and Hiranyakashipu, unafraid of the Lord, attacked him like an elephant. Generally, the elephant is defeated by the Lord, and therefore, the comparison in this verse is appropriate. So, finally, text 24. Alakshitogno patita patangamo yatana shringao jasi so surastada natad vichitram kalu sattvadamati swate jasa yonu puravivattamaha. Just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly, during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by his spiritual effulgence. So Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, the Lord is situated transcendentally in pure goodness. The material world is generally controlled by tamagun, the quality of ignorance, but the spiritual world, because of the presence of the Lord and his effulgence, is free from all contamination by darkness, passion, or contaminated goodness. Although there is a tinge of goodness in this material world in terms of the brahminical qualifications, such qualifications sometimes become invisible because of the strong prevalence of the modes of passion and ignorance. But because the Lord is always transcendentally situated, the material modes of passion and ignorance cannot touch him. Whenever the Lord is present, there cannot be any darkness from the mode of ignorance. It is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Majjhima Lila 22:31, that is chapter 22, text 31, Krishna Surya Samamaya Hoya Andhakar. Yahan Krishna Taha Nahi Mayayar Adhikar. Godhead is light, nescience is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no nescience. This material world is full of darkness and ignorance of spiritual life, but by bhakti yoga this ignorance is dissipated. The Lord appeared because of the bhakti yoga exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj, and as soon as the Lord appeared, the influence of Hiranyakashipu's passion and ignorance was vanquished, as the Lord's quality of pure goodness, or the Brahman effulgence, became prominent. In that prominent effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible, or his influence became insignificant. An example illustrating how the darkness of the material world is vanquished is given in the Shastra. When Brahma was created from the lotus stem growing from the abdomen of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Lord Brahma, saw everything to be dark, but when he received knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything became clear. As everything becomes clear when one comes from night to sunshine, the important point is that as long as we are in the material modes of nature, we are always in darkness. The darkness cannot be dissipated without the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is invoked by the practice of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga creates a transcendental situation with no tinge of material contamination. Interesting verses. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur of Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So in the first verse here, we're hearing the description of basically Lord Nrisimhadev's anger. So let's talk about anger for a second. I mean, the Bhagavad Gita describes anger in different ways. You know, as one of the gates going to hell, you know, lust, anger, greed. Kamesha, Kradesha, Rajaguna, Samud Bhava. Kamesha, Kradesha. So it comes, of course. In the material world, anger comes from the frustration of not being able to enjoy your sense objects. And there's that typical verse, which I always quote in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Jayato vishat pumsam sangos te shubhajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodha vijayate. Krodha Bhavati Samoha, Samoha Smriti Vim Brahmaha, Smriti Brahmachad, Nashtabuddhi, Nashtabuddhi Vinashati. I think everybody knows that verse, right? No. From contemplating sense objects, attachment develops. From attachment comes lust. From lust comes anger. And that's all we're going to talk about right now, because we're talking about anger. So anger is a manifestation of the mode of ignorance. And even in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find Lord Kapiladeva's descriptions of different devotees in different modes, right? And people, devotees in the modes of passion and ignorance, are angry, proud, separatists, etc. Separatists, of course, sometimes understood as meaning having a separate objective other than the service of the Lord, or sometimes it's understood as they just have their own party spirit. Just like you see, when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati left the planet, different devotees started initiating in his math and took up the post of Acharya, and there was fighting between the disciples of different gurus. Even within the temple room, sometimes there were fisticuffs. Fisticuffs means punching. Because one guru was one disciples of certain guru were chanting his pranam mantras, and the other disciples of another guru didn't hear their guru's pranam mantras chanting kirtan, boom, boom. So that's devotional service. That's separatism, of course. And there's anger and devotional service in the mode of ignorance and passion. And you see that sometimes too, like in the name of devotional service, you'll see that there's, let's say, political activities between different Vaishnava groups. And political activities means that you're trying to convince one Vaishnava group you're better than the other Vaishnava group. And you take up the path of their Vaishnava group, you're going to come to a higher platform of devotional service. And if you just stick to your Vaishnava group, you're going to remain as a Kanishtha Adhikari and the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti. And so that's political. It's based on separatism, and you know there's anger there too. You know, criticism of Vaishnava, which is quite dangerous. And even people use philosophies sometimes to justify or to carry out some political objectives. Of course, we're not talking about Donald Trump here. We're talking about, you know, so-called, you know, spiritualists. I wouldn't even say so-called, but actual spiritualists, you know, Kanishtha Adhikaris. Kanishtha Adhikaris sometimes can use philosophy. For example, there's this one philosophical point which devotees are very fond of arguing about, which is, you know, where does the soul come from? And so someone talked about talked to me yesterday about this. I was talking to him on the phone, you know. Where do you think the soul comes from? And, you know, obviously I accept what Prabhupada said, which is, you know, the soul comes from the spiritual world, etc. But in this particular juncture or this particular discussion, I said, I don't care. I just want to serve Krishna. And they said, why don't you care? I said, because I have so much service to do. I don't have time to just be fighting people over where the soul comes from. Can you imagine that? You have devotees fighting each other over where the soul comes from. And because they're fighting each other over it, their soul will go not back to Godhead. It's interesting, isn't it? They're fighting, you know, where did the soul come? No, it came from here. No, it came from here. If you don't believe me, I'm going to punch you. Of course, they don't go that far. But they make propaganda. You know, you should come join us because we have the real philosophy of the soul. And the other group is saying, no, you don't have the philosophy of the soul. And this way, back and forth, it's all mode of passion. It's devotional service in the mode of passion. And there's ignorance, too, because they're getting angry with each other and stuff like that. So you have to be able to see these modes of nature like that. And actually, yeah, I mean, it's a point that devotees can discuss, but if they get into anger and bitterness and political stuff, that's mode of passion and ignorance. So here, we see Lord Nrisimhadev exhibiting anger. So what's wrong with Lord Nrisimhadev? You know, why doesn't he just, like, cool down? in the mode, you know, in the transcendental mode of goodness, as I describe here. So, but his anger is not coming from frustration, I guarantee that. Because the Lord, as we've been describing the last few days, is optikama. He can get anything he wants at any time. I mean, there's no frustration, you know, things don't happen the way he wants. Ain't like that. Just like, you know, right now we're just hoping the temple gets renovated quickly, and it's frustrating, you know, if it's up to, if I was God, it would happen instantaneously like that. You know, so many things would happen and people would listen to me, you know, all these other things. You know, I have all these things I would like to happen that don't happen, that are frustrating. I mean, just like we're trying to clear the land for the school, and it's raining, D-A-M-N-I-T. You know, I'm not going to mention that in class. You know, just like when we first established the temple here, I mean, many of you were not aware of all the different austerities we had to go through. We had a double-wide mobile home, but we were only able to pull half the mobile home out and set it up because it started raining, and the weather was so bad, the second half got stuck in the mud. So we had to, in the driveway, so we actually had to spend the whole winter just with the mobile, half of the mobile home opened. You know, I think it's austere now, but it was half the mobile home was open, you know, with a plastic sheet over it, and we'd wake up in the morning and the Achman cups would be frozen. You know, the spoon would be frozen in the Achman cup. Can you imagine that? People are just bad now. But anyway, so it was a good day, a good time. You know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Some of the people got going, they weren't tough, but we kept going. So the point is, I got really angry at the weather because it didn't cooperate with me. And at one point, you know, I threw a stone up in the air saying, "Indra, you damn it, you know." You know, I lost my temper. Because things didn't work out the way I wanted. So that's the cause of anger. That's the point I'm making. When things don't work out the way, you know, how many people have gotten angry at their computers? Isn't Chaga? You know, or their car, or the weather. I mean, we have so many things we get angry at. Because it just, you know, just can't control it. Because of lack of control. That's a big thing, actually, with people. Lack of control. Lack of autonomy. I mean, we all want to have autonomy. Or Krishna is the most autonomous person, Swarat. So, anyway, so Lord Nrsingadev, getting back to the point, is not getting angry because, you know, he just, things were out of his control. This, you know, this Hiranyakashipu was doing things and just like, it was out of his control. He was getting angry because he was enjoying anger. Try to understand that. I do not enjoy anger. I do not enjoy anxiety. I do not enjoy any of these emotions. Isn't it? I mean, you could say, you know, I don't watch football games, but you could say someone watches a football game because they're enjoying anger. Well, watch their faces. They're not happy. It's just like they're miserable, and then they got to drink at the same time while they're watching the football game, just so they don't realize how unhappy they are. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, you come out of the football game and they have riots. And of course, in America, it's not that common, but they have, in South America, the football, of course, we call soccer. It's interesting, in America, you say football, it means this thing with the, you know, pig skin. The people throw pig skin at each other. You know, can you imagine? What a stupid thing, throwing pig skins. So, that's what the football is called. And in South America, it's what we call soccer. So we say football to them in South America, or in Europe, it means soccer. You understand? So, and then South America, they have these riots. You think of people enjoying the football game, and they go and they tear apart the stadium and they kill people. After that, you know, it's just anger, you know, mode of ignorance. So really, anger is not enjoyable, anxiety is not enjoyable, and all these things in the material world are actually sources of misery, lust, even lust is not enjoyable. I mean, it gives you the impression you're going to enjoy, but according to the Bhagavad Gita, the mode of passion, it's like nectar in the beginning, it's like poison at the end. It's like poison. Like Prabhupada talks about, let's just, of course, in the sannyasi class, about sex life, for example. He said, whether it's licit or illicit, it's just so painful. I mean, let's say illicit. Illicit means you've got to take so many things to, contraceptives or abortion, and you're accruing all this bad karma. And you're going to have to suffer. I was listening to Prabhupada talking about this. And then, licit means, you get married and you have kids, and then you got to struggle for so many years. And they grow up so slowly. And you got to... So when are they going to grow up? And then you got to pay. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So just little enjoyment and just like, in this world. So lust really doesn't give you enjoyment. It gives you just like a struggle. Pa, varga, foam at the mouth, fainting. Especially when you get to see the Yamadutas because you had abortion or something like that. You had an abortion, you had to be aborted. And so it's just, so much struggle. So lust, anger, greed, all these things are miserable because people don't think so. Anyway, so getting back to Lord Nrsingadev is angry and he's enjoying the anger. That's one of the indirect rasas. You understand? Anger. And there's chivalry and humor. Because humor is easier for me to understand how humor is enjoyable. Isn't it? I mean, it's easy. That's really easy for me to understand. But when you talk about anger, even chivalry, I can't even understand that. So... But the Lord enjoys these things, and in this material world, there's the perverted reflection of these things. So all these things that the Lord enjoys, these rasas, direct rasas, indirect rasas, they're actually there in the spiritual world, and they're quite enjoyable. Like, here you talk about, the sex life. The Lord has... Like Prabhupada one time said, when people were criticizing, Krishna has, Krishna's interest in sex, and Prabhupada said, it's unlimited. It's unlimited. And Krishna enjoys it. Because it's loving exchange. It's not exploitation. Whereas the relationships in this world are based on exploitation. So here, it's hard to understand, but the Lord is even engaging in loving exchange with Hiranyakashipu. What kind of loving exchange, frightening the daylights out of him, But there's chivalry there, there's anger there, there's ghastliness. Ghastliness means, ugh. It's hard to describe what ghastliness means. Like rivers of, sometimes you hear about these stories about Krishna fighting and there's rivers of blood and there's heads floating in the rivers. Can you imagine that? I mean, traumatic. Okay, just, going to war and seeing heads floating in a river, a red river. I know. It happens in the war sometimes. It happens in the war, the red rivers. Or Parasuram, for example, what he did, killing the Kshatriyas so many times. And there's this rivers of blood, lakes of blood that were created as a result of that. So it's actually the case that Hiranyakashipu is enjoying too. Because Hiranyakashipu is a devotee. And ultimately he wants to satisfy the Lord. Of course he was put into Yogamaya, so he forgot, he was a resident of the spiritual world, Jayan Vijay, one of the doorkeepers. But he was engaged in this exchange with the Lord, and this is his desire. to engage in that exchange. So so the Lord is enjoying, and this is the transcendental mode of goodness. In the material mode of goodness, no, there's no anger at all. You understand? That's the difference. The material mode, it's interesting, the material mode of goodness is just like peace, love, toleration. But in the spiritual mode of goodness, you have anger and, you know, what the spiritual lust, which is not actually lust, it's love. And you have anxiety, you have all these things in the spiritual mode of goodness, which is interesting. Which is very interesting. But they're all enjoyable. And they're all purifying. So for a devotee, when a devotee is engaged in service, you know, when is it appropriate for us to be angry? It's appropriate for us to be angry when someone is blaspheming the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotees. And that's purifying. And that's even enjoyable. Like, I was watching last night some of Prabhupada's classes, and the devotees were describing that they were talking about how they would bring different professors to see Prabhupada, and generally Prabhupada would just like engage them in some arguments. I said, what is your philosophy? And the poor professor, you know, the devotee was saying he was shocked how Prabhupada would be dealing with these different professors. And not all of them. I mean, there were certain ones, like Professor Stilton Judah, who Prabhupada was very kind with. But the ones who were actually against the devotional server, atheists, Prabhupada was very strong with. And even Prabhupada talked about when he defeated this Mr. Nair and got the Bombay property. He just had a good fight and had a, and you know, there was like this chivalry there. So for a devotee engaged in Krishna service, then there's this enjoyment, of course, of these indirect rasas too. And what to speak of Lord Nrsingadeva, who is completely enjoying these things. So. We are not simply in the mode of material goodness. We are actually supposed to be in spiritual goodness. Vishuddha.